Well, it's really a privilege for me to be able to be with you today at Mosaic as we gather together for worship. And as some of you know, we're in a series. It's called Face to Face, and today we look at Daniel coming face to face with the living God. And so our reading is taken from the sixth chapter of Daniel. I'm going to simply read two verses, verse 10 and 11. Although Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he continued to go to his house, which had windows in its upper room open towards Jerusalem, to get down on his knees three times a day to pray to his God, to praise him, just as he had done previously. The conspirators came and found Daniel praying and seeking mercy before his God. And so we thank God so much for that little glimpse into Daniel's life as he lived in exile. And we pray that just through that short passage, that God will speak to us today. I'm deeply, deeply aware that as we gather together today virtually for worship, that we gather together in a time of overwhelming trauma. Trauma, both at a personal level and also at a collective level. We are a deeply, deeply traumatized nation today. And it's against the somber backdrop of this trauma that I want today, very simply, to extend an invitation to you and to myself as well. And it's an invitation, in the midst of our trauma, our personal trauma, our collective trauma, it's an invitation for us to come face to face with God in prayer each day of our lives. That is the invitation that I want to offer to you today, and which I extend as well to myself. And in order for us to explore what that invitation may mean for us, I want to reflect with you on two very critical questions. And the first question is this: why is prayer so critical for us at this traumatic time? The second question is just a little bit more practical. How do we embrace prayer as a practice, as a daily practice, in the midst of our trauma? So first let's look at that question about why prayer is so critical for us today in the midst of our personal and collective trauma. Daniel would be very clear in his response to us. You will know that Daniel was thrown into a lion's den because he refused point blank to give up praying each day. And if we were to ask him, Daniel, why did you refuse to give up praying? His answer to us would be straightforward. He continued to pray each day because his prayer gave God access into his life in the midst of what he was facing. That it was in his praying that he knew God's loving presence and life-giving power. Or to put it in Daniel's own words in verse 26 and 27, it was through his praying that he came to know that God is a living God, a living God who delivers and who rescues. Now I want to suggest today that we really need to grasp that. I've had many conversations this week with people, a number of people saying to me, Trevor, what is the use of prayer? Prayer doesn't seem to make a difference. Why pray? Why tell God things that God already knows? And I want to say this clearly. Prayer is not about us giving information to God that God does not have. It's not about that. Prayer is all about giving God access into our trauma, so that we may know God's healing presence and life-giving strength. So that we may also, like Daniel, that we may also come to know, as we face our crises and our challenges, that God is a living God who rescues and who delivers. Let me give you a very simple illustration that I use often. I'm the father of two children, and they're in their 30s now. I know them. I love them. I know when they're going through trauma. I know. And when one of them comes to me in a traumatic moment in their life and says to me, Dad, I'm really, really struggling at the moment with this trauma. I never, ever say to them, you don't have to tell me because I know. I never say that. They're not giving me information that I haven't got. But what they are doing is that in their trauma, they are giving me access to their life. They're opening up their life to me so that my love and my care and my compassion can enter their life more deeply. And as a result, I may not be able to take away their trauma, but as a result, our relationship together goes in a new direction because they open their life up to me. That's what happens in prayer. It's not about giving God information, but it's about opening our heart and mind to the living God, to the healing presence of this living God, to the life-giving power of this living God. And as we do that, things happen in our lives, good things, healing things, liberating things, hopeful things that would not have happened had we not prayed. Prayer is about giving God access. Can I move on? How do we embrace prayer as a daily practice in the midst of our trauma? I want to go back again to Daniel's life. You know, we just had that little glimpse into his life in chapter 6. There are just a few things there that are just so helpful. And I want to offer them to you today. We embrace prayer, friends, as a practice when we decide on a place to pray. Go back to the passage. Let me just read that part of that verse to you again from verse 10. He continued to go to his house, which had windows open towards Jerusalem. Daniel had a place. He had a place where he went to encounter God face to face. You know, when we look at the life of Jesus in the New Testament, and I encourage you to do that so often. Jesus lived in the midst of overwhelming trauma as well, surrounded by immense suffering. And I'm so challenged by the fact that again and again and again, we read about Jesus going to a solitary place where he prayed, where he came face to face, as it were, with his Abba Father. And so it comes as no surprise to us that when Jesus teaches us about prayer, do you remember his words? So down to earth, so practical. Go into a room, shut the door. You need a place. Let me ask you today, in the midst of all that we're going through, do you have a place that you go to? It may just be a chair in the lounge, maybe the corner of one room. You may even have a spare room in your home. It may be your car at lunchtime. Do you have a place? A place that you go to? Don't let it be your bed. Have a set aside place. Mark it with something. Maybe a simple cross, a candle, a special photograph. I have a simple prayer that I put on the wall where I pray. But I have a place. And it's in that place that it becomes a sacred place, a holy place, a thin place where God can meet us face to face. We can meet God. Open our lives up to this living God who rescues and who delivers. But let me go one step further. We embrace prayer as a practice when we carve out regular time to be with God. Go back again to Daniel's experience. Three times a day, we read this in verse 10. Three times a day, he would go into that room, windows open to Jerusalem, to pray to his God, just as he had done previously. You know, often people say to me, Trevor, I don't need to carve out any time. I pray all the time. And all I want to say, if I may, is that we will only pray all the time if we pray sometime. Think of a good friendship that you have, a good friendship, a friendship that means a lot to you, a friendship that perhaps has grown and deepened over the years, a friendship that has become a real comforting, consoling reality in your life. Think of a good friendship. I guarantee you that you've carved out time in your life to meet with that friend. Doesn't happen accidentally. Doesn't happen by mistake. It happens intentionally. I want to suggest, and this is going to be a radical suggestion, that the top priority of our life as human beings in this moment of history is to carve out priority time each day of our lives. And in that time, for some of us in the morning, for some of us in the evening, for others of us at lunchtime, we go to our place, our sacred place. We need a place. We need a time. But perhaps I can say the most important thing now. We embrace prayer as a practice when we enter into conversation with God. Go back to verse 11, chapter 6. We read the conspirators came and they found Daniel praying and seeking mercy from God. That they found Daniel in conversation with God. They found Daniel talking to God, sharing his heart with God, praying, seeking mercy from God. And Daniel was doing this with words. He was doing this with his lips. Can I suggest that when we're in a time of trauma, and we are all carrying trauma in our bodies at the moment, it's critical for us not just to think our prayer, to keep it in our head. It's so important for us to use words. It's so important for us, for our trauma, to be expressed in language. It's so important for us to find voice for our pain. It's so important for our heartache and our heartbreak to be expressed in language. And for us to do this from our very depths in the presence of God. And we do it because as we are doing it, we are giving God access. We are opening our heart and our mind. We are opening our heartbreak and heartache. We are opening our trauma to the healing presence, to the life-giving strength of God, to the God, the living God, who rescues and who delivers. And it's a time for us not only to do this personally, it's a time for us to do this collectively as well. And for us together to hold our nation in our hearts before God, purposefully, deeply, intentionally. And as we do it, it's almost as if with our prayers, and obviously with our actions as well, that we are creating, as it were, openings for God to move, for God to act, for God to come to us in our most desperate, desperate need. As one of my friends wrote many years ago, history belongs to the intercessors. And it's in our daily prayer and it's in our daily actions that we shape our history as a nation. So let me end. We meet today overwhelmed with trauma. I offer a simple invitation that in our trauma, personally and collectively, we come into a face-to-face encounter with the living God. In prayer each day, we need a place, we carve our time, and we share our hearts. Let's do that now as we pray. Dear God, we know that you do not gate crash our lives. You do not force your way into our lives, into our community, into our nation. We know too that as we come in simple prayer, that we open up our inner being to the reality of your life-giving, loving presence and power. Will you teach us how to do this, Lord? Show us how to do it, that we may come to know the reality of your unshakable kingdom in the midst of a world, of a nation that has been shaken to its very core. So we offer ourselves to you today, abandon ourselves to you today, with all the love and longing of our hearts, in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. And so I want to bless you today with a deep awareness that with Christ we live and move and have our being each day in an unshakable kingdom. May God hold you and bless you and keep you. Amen.